this morning. Well, this is the second time I preached a sermon, so I hope it gets better than the first one. I have titled the sermon today as Strange Preacher, Strong Message. Now, I'm not talking about this preacher. I'm more talking about the passage that we have just heard from the Holy Scriptures. Now, if you've ever been to a concert, you'll know they put on lesser-known act first to warm up the crowd. Well, John the Baptist is like the warm-up act for Jesus. He is there not for his own sake, but to help us come to know Jesus personally. Now, John the Baptist was indeed a strange preacher. He had a strange message, a strange pulpit, and a strange stress sense. Now, there are other strange preachers found in the scriptures. Let me share with you a few of those. Firstly, in the book of Genesis, there's the Noah's dove. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. This dove bring back a message about the faithfulness of God, as God promised the water will recede. Then, of course, there is the Balaam's donkey found in the book of Numbers. It says, "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?'" Well, the donkey brought a message to Balaam, a message of rebuke. Balaam's anger was aroused, so he struck the donkey, and the donkey reacted. Then there is the story about the rich man and the beggar and the dogs. In Luke chapter 16, it says, "Desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." We are familiar with that story. The dogs brought a message of compassion to the beggar. Then we are also most familiar with the story, Simon Peter's rooster. In Luke chapter 22, "But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying,' when he was questioned whether he knew Jesus or not. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." So the rooster brought to Peter a message of repentance. Then there is the Herod's worms in Acts chapter 12. "And the people keep shouting, 'The voice of God and not of man.'" In Acts chapter 12, it says, "Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worm." That's Herod, eaten by worm, "and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied." So the worm brought a very deadly message to Herod of judgment. Last but not least, in the book of Revelation, some angel spoke. "The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and the land raised up his hands to heaven that there should be delayed no longer." Angel were ushering in something that should not be delayed any further. Indeed, besides John the Baptist, these animals also brought messages to the people specifically, and sometimes even deadly. What if Jesus come in today, and what sort of message will he deliver to us? What kind of conversation we may have with him? What about John the Baptist? If one day or today he comes into the churches, what kind of message is he going to deliver to the churches today? To the Christian today, even to our own church, even to us personally. In the Gospel of Matthew, it described to us about John the Baptist. He said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make his path straight." That's the act. That is the role of John the Baptist. Well, John is talking about not just any ordinary road, but rather it is the road to spiritual renewal or awakening. Renewal of our hearts. And he's challenging us to fill the various potholes that we may have along our road so that the bridges can be fixed and smoothing the band so that we can walk on this path as well as preparing the way for the Lord. Now, as we talk about this road, there are, I can work out three major bumps along the way. Major bumps or potholes along the way. Firstly, have we really understood who Jesus is? John the Baptist was ushering a message telling people, this Messiah, he's not even worthy to hold a sandal. He's coming. He's preparing the way for our Lord Jesus. But do people really understand who Jesus is? Now, John the Baptist, he is described to us by Matthew that he was wearing clothes of camel hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts. Well, some of us like wearing denim or tweed or even some other material, but John, for him, it was all about camel's hair. Now, I don't think this is just a fashion statement that John decided to give to us. In fact, if you look back into the scriptures, back in the Old Testament time, one of the very last major prophet was Elijah. And in fact, people thought that Jesus was Elijah, you know, and even John the Baptist was likened to Elijah. Now, apparently, I understand that Elijah wore similar this kind of costumes and things as it was in John the Baptist's day. Then, of course, we know that after the passing of all the prophets, and the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, that was the last time Jesus spoke for 400 years. Jesus had not spoken through prophets for anybody for 400 years. Last was Malachi. And then John the Baptist came and started speaking of God, of Jesus, of his coming. Now, there were many, many trying to understand why God kept silent for 400 years. All right? You can read more books about it, but I'm not going to talk about it today because otherwise you won't get your lunch later. But the interesting thing is that there is the comparison between Elijah and John the Baptist. They wore similar things, but they're all delivering God's messages to us. Right? But John was not a statement of fashion. But rather, he's bringing a message, a strong message to the people then, and a strong message for us today. He was preparing the way for the coming of Jesus, the first coming. As we are celebrating the event today, this season, but we're also preparing for the second coming of Christ. Now, John was not just being the fanboy of Elijah, so he decided to wear much like Elijah. But really, he wants us to know and understand the message that he's going to deliver to us. So, John is trying to give us a sign pointing to Jesus. Pointing us to Jesus so that we can understand who Jesus is. What Jesus means for you and I. He will try to share about the identity of Jesus. Is he, Jesus just a prophet, an inspired teacher? Or is he somebody else, as the scripture tells us, being the Son of God? Now, next week, I will share next sermon, so please come back so you can listen to my next week's sermon. I will talk more about Jesus' identity and who Jesus is to us. But today, I just want to say that this is the first bump. We need to know and understand who Jesus is so that we can appreciate his purpose, his reason for coming, and his second return. First bump. Second bump is that we need to repent of our sins. Now, we are very accustomed as good Anglicans. We say our prayers every Sunday. The Lord's Prayer reminds us what we do. Good stuff. Good stuff. And we may even do our own private repentance, whatever. Fantastic. But the issue here, what John is trying to bring home to us, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees and came, is that he's asking the question, we need to have true and sincere repentance. Sometimes some of the things that we do to others and do to ourselves is self-inflicted. But the scripture teaches us, and what John is reminding us, that we need to repent of our sin. We need to have not just like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, simply following the laws, often laws that they set up to cause problems for others and for themselves. But rather, when Christ came, he replaced all these Old Testament law, or at least not replaced so much, but summarized into two main ones, the two loves. Love God and love neighbors. It may sound simple, but in fact, I would look at it and say it's even harder than just following the Ten Commandments. Because Ten Commandments, at least you have a checklist, you can say, tick, 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 I've done all that. But when you have the two very general law given by Jesus, sometimes I found it's harder to love God and to love our neighbors. Hard stuff. Hard stuff to talk about. But Paul shared his own struggle. He says sometimes things he wants to do, he can't do. Some of the things that he should not do, he keeps doing it. We can be like that too. And so having true repentance, sincere repentance, it is so necessary and so important for us. And that's what John is talking about here when he's referring to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. You may think it's a bit harsh on them, but that was what really happened with them. In fact, John's used the word referring them to be the brood of vipers and warned them about the wrath of God, and that warned them to tell them that they need to bear fruit worthy of repentance. And that's the second bump. Repentance is not just something we just rattle off words and so on, but has to be sincere and true. And there is fruit of repentance. That's what John is talking about here. So, we need to be reminded, and what John is telling us, that we need to be real, we need to be authentic, we need to be who we are professed to be. So that requires a spiritual awakening, just like some of the poster I put outside, that this season of Lent is about awakening our spiritual sense, renewing our hearts, preparing the way of not just Christmas, not just Christmas lunch or dinner or family gathering, but preparing ourselves spiritually for the birth of Jesus, but more importantly, the second event, which is the return of Christ Jesus. Right, so there's two bumps. The last bump is the danger of ritualized religion. That's what the Pharisee and the Sadducee fell into. Ritualizing the laws, the religion, they say you cannot do this, you must do this, and all that sort of stuff. They knew the liturgy. They knew how to bow. They knew how to pray and all that stuff, or even the knowledge of God. But they don't have any real sense of God. They don't have a relationship with God. And when Jesus came, they rejected Jesus. They don't have spiritual life in them. That's why John continued that even the axe is at the root of the tree, is about to cut it down and then to be burned because of lacking in fruit. Because of not having true repentance. One of the things that I do enjoy coming back to New Zealand, having been overseas, is I enjoy the summer fruits. You know, you go to supermarket now, it can get a little expensive these days, but you have strawberry, you have cherries, you have all kinds of summer fruit. Lovely, lovely. But they are there for our joys. But the important thing, the spiritual side of things, that we need to have spiritual fruit. That we are filled, we are people with power, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So those fruit we need to express and to be touching the lives of others. Our religion is not about keeping up rituals, but rather having a real relationship with God, having a real relationship with Jesus. So these are the three bumps that John is preparing both for Jesus, but also reminding us that we need to smooth out those bumps so that we can walk the straight and narrow and to receive Christ Jesus as who he really is. Well, the good news, let me finish. The good news that John talked about, having told off all the Sadducees and things, the good news is that he's saying that when Jesus comes, we are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. So there is a way out. As long as we follow, we follow. So this spiritual awakening or spiritual renewal is available to us as it was in those days. This road to spiritual awakening and renewal is there, but we need to straighten our road and our path. We need to fill in those potholes. We need to journey towards the one who is our Lord Jesus, who is powerful, more powerful than John the Baptist, who's going to baptize you and I, or have already done so, with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we'll say more about him next week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you.